Truckers, welcome to a brand spanking shiny ass happy rainbow sparkle sunshine edition of the Hollywood Hick. This here is me, Brent Paris, the Hollywood Hick, coming at all y'all from Hollywood, California, just up from Hollywood Boulevard, sitting up here in the Florida room where it's brisk today, finally cooling the fuck off in Hollywood. It's hot as hell in February. Ain't supposed to be like that. I don't know what the fuck's up. Moving on. But sitting here spitting distance from the most famous of intersections anywhere's all y'all, Hollywood and Vine, sitting here on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com. You know what happens when you throw a / listen behind that? All you mother truckers get all the fabulous mother trucking programming right as it's mother trucking happening. Okay? So mother trucking listening, because it is fucking fabulous. And you can follow me on the Twitters at the H-Wood Hick. And you can follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Hollywood Hick. Okay? Okay. I think I didn't throw it in enough particulars. Oh! No, I have not. I most certainly ain't. Also, the Hollywood Hick here comes on every day on the Crab Diving Network. 7 in the morning, 7 in the evening, meaning on the 7th. That's out here West Coast time. If you're anywhere else, do the math. Like the East Coast of this country, add 3, that'd be 10. Anywhere else? I don't know. You're going to have to figure it out. Or download the podcast off of the iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Crab Diving website. You can get it all over the place. I'm just saying it's out. Okay? Oh, and the previous episode airs at midnight West Coast time. Okay? Okay. Particulars are over. What's going on out there in the world? I'll tell you what's going on out there in the world. Shit's getting a little nutty. I'm like, ooh, Lord have mercy. Okay, so. Y'all see this? Okay, because, you know, I have always been following this story because I was working over in Brentwood when this shit went down, so I remember it all very, very, very well, right? So, now they're saying over here, now this got broke on the TMZ. Of course, see, I love how, like, people want to give TMZ shit, but they are forever breaking some stories. Like, they are fucking out there fucking with the ear to the ground or whatever the hell you call it, and they are out there getting the real stories because everybody was behind them. And now I notice, like, reputable or supposedly reputable news sites will fucking cite TMZ as their source. So, way to go, TMZ, because you are the kind of news that I want. Your TV show is fucking horrible. It is, like, un-mother-trucking watchable. But your website gives me the kind of news that I'm interested in, so thanks, y'all. But says here on the TMZ website, this came down yesterday. Oh, and so, by the way, I am sorry that if you tried to find a new one yesterday and there was not one on account of the workplace and or too much. It was the fucking workplace again. The workplace is constantly thwarting my freaking role, y'all. I don't understand. Moving on. But whatever. Apologies. Here it'll be Saturday evening when you get to hear this for the hopes. Okay. All right. So what I'm saying is over here, it says on the TMZ website, O.J. Simpson. Buried knife found at OJ's estate, right? So this is where they tore down his house, like freaking like in 2008 or something like that. The house that he like had over in Brentwood got tore down because people were like, I ain't living in no murder raider's house. So they tore it down and built another one because, you know, that's how rich people roll. They're like, well, then just get rid of it. We'll build a bigger and better one or whatever. But says here, this is how the story began, says a construction worker found a knife buried on the perimeter of the former O.J. Simpson estate, and it's currently being tested by the LAPD in a top secret investigation. This is what the law enforcement sources are telling TMZ people, right? Okay, so says this story is incredible. We're told a construction worker found the knife years ago. We have heard from several different stories ranging from several years ago to 1998 when the house was demolished. It was back in 1998 when the house was demolished. When else would a worker been over there digging around with shit? When they were over there tearing a house down, maybe. Or they could have done it when they were building a new one. I don't know, but it would have been about the same time, wouldn't you think? Because somebody tore that shit down and built another. That was some prime-ass real estate, right? Well, so apparently the weapon is a folding buck knife, and the law enforcement sources say the construction worker took the knife to the street where he saw a LAPD cop. He told the officer where he found the knife, and the cop took it. Turns out, the cop turned, fuck, I can't talk. Turns out the cop who worked in the traffic division was off duty at the time working security for a movie shoot at a house across the street on Rockingham. That's the street that over in Brentwood where this house was before they tore the motherfucker down, right? Says, our sources say the officer took the knife home and kept it for years. So he had that shit just for evs, right? For straight up evs. He's like, this is some memorabilia. Or like he was trying to come, like, I don't know, whatever. We'll get to the part where we like introduce who this officer is, officer of the law, who apparently doesn't understand the law. I don't get it. Whatever. We'll talk. So says, in late January of this year, after the cop retired from the LAPD, he contacted a friend who worked in LAPD's robbery homicide division, also known as RHD. Says the cop told the friend about the knife and said he was getting it framed to put on his wall, right? Because that's what you want to do. You want to take something that could possibly be a murder weapon in one of the most famous murder cases ever, especially in Los Angeles. It is probably the most famous murder case ever. It was all over everything. This whole city was sucked in. It was nuts when that shit was going on. I'm just saying, I worked over in Brentwood. I dealt with this. I kind of on the fringe, like he was an acquaintance, that Ryan Goldman fella. I knew him from the bar. It was ridiculous because he worked down the street. We're all waiters. So we all hung out at this Armadillo bar. People did. But what was I going with this? Where was I going this? Back, whatever. This is just shit was nuts, right? So, this is it. Why would you put that on the wall? That's fucking... People are just straight up stupid. Like, and you're a policeman. You wouldn't think, whatever. We'll get to it. Okay, I'm just so flabbergasted by this shit. How you would think that this is not kind of super important, being as this is one of the biggest cases fucking ever. People, they got a whole TV show about it on TV right now, and people are stupid. Where'd it go? Oh, this is how he got busted, and people found out about the damn thing. Okay, whatever, I'm back on track. I completely got off track. Did y'all hear me? I just couldn't even. So it says, he wanted his friend to get the department record number for the Nicole Brown Simpson Ronald Goldman murder case, which he planned on engraving in the frame. So he was going to frame it and then put this plate on there with the number of the case on there, being like, this could be the knife that did it, y'all, look it. And I just didn't tell nobody and kept it and put it in a frame on my wall with a freaking department record number underneath. What a freaking mouth breathing moron. These are the people who are supposed to protect and serve us, y'all, and they are this stupid. They don't even know that this is probably not something that you should do, you fucking idiot boy. Oh my goodness. It says but apparently now at least there's somebody with a freaking brain. It says the friend was apparently indignant and told his superiors. The brass was outraged and demanded that the retired cop turn the knife over, which he did. Now, the TMZ sources are telling these people that the knife is currently being tested for hair and fingerprints. But, I mean, it was in the dirt, all up in all kind of other stuff, rusted up by now and all kind of stuff from what I understand. Whatever. But apparently it will be moved to the serology unit next week, where it will be tested for DNA and other biological evidence. Ooh, if there is some OJ and or Nicole Brown and or Ronald Goldman DNA on there, that's going to be some fucking shit, right? But I highly doubt it at this point, because it says right here, our source familiar with the investigation tells us cops who eyeballed the knife think it could have blood residue on it, but it's hard to know without testing because it's extremely rusted and stained, because had been freaking buried for a while over on the fringes of OJ's freaking properties. I can't believe these cops didn't find it. Shouldn't they been putting metal detectors out there going beep, beep, beep all over the place trying to find it, like an old man on the beach walking around looking for coins and jewelry and shit? I don't get it. But apparently, goes on here, says the investigation is top secret. It's been logged into the LAPD's computer system outside the official case file to maintain security. It also says our sources say since OJ was found not guilty, it's still an open case. That means cops can continue investigating, but OJ cannot be prosecuted again on account of double jeopardy. So, even if it does come back with his shit all over it and their shit all over it, you know what's going to happen? He's going to be right there in jail where he should be anyway. But they can't do anything about it. They'll be like, oh, well, I guess it is solved. Fucking people got away with it. And, I'm learning more things about this. If the glove don't fit, you got to quit. I didn't realize that, they pretty much kind of, fixed that shit going. Because he took, anti-swelling pills. What are they? The anti-inflammatories. And so he didn't take his anti-inflammatories for a while. So his fingers all swelled up. So, of course, it wasn't going to fit. There was all this other shit. It's nuts. And that Marsha Clark, she was like, I told them not to fucking use that goddamn glove and tell them to put it on, but they fucking did it anyway. And she's like, oh, that was it. Dead. Boop, boop. Dead. dead. That's what she was thinking. She was like, that was the moment I knew I was fucked. Completely 100% just mother trucking. Well, so this thing goes on. What else to say? So the apparently, though, now then it comes out that after the fact there, this is also on the TMZ. I'm getting all this news here from the TMZ. Says the cop who found the knife says he told LAPD when he got it. Now, this is where I start calling bullshit. Like, I can't stand this stuff. It's like on the flip side. I told somebody, but they didn't want it. No, fuck you. Then that means you go to somebody else because somebody was not doing their fucking job. It's like that time when there was a psycho killer on the loose in Hollywood and I was trying to call the police and tell them, like, that psycho killer y'all are looking for was just over here the other day, and I know him because he was in a class I was in and he creeped me the fuck out because he was always asking me out for fucking drinks and shit, and I was like, no, you kind of creeped me out, I ain't going out with you. And so I just always tried to avoid him, and whenever I saw him roaming around Hollywood, I made sure I did not go anywhere where he could engage on account of I got a vibe of crazy, which was exactly right. My instincts was dead on, because come to find out he was a psycho killer, and there was a manhunt on the loose for him, and I had just seen him and my neighbor had just seen him, and we were like, you know, you might want to look right around here because we have just seen him very recently. And nobody gave two fucks. They even called Crime Stoppers. They didn't give two fucks. So you just got to keep going to somebody else. But I do know the cops don't give a fuck. But if you're a cop, you should understand that this is, you probably should be a little bit more diligent in your trying to turn this over to somebody if the first person doesn't listen to you because there's some stupid mouth breathing moron who's just answering phones at a goddamn police station. Like, I don't understand. Like, this ignorance of the law does not fly if you are a policeman. You get that? So, like, whatever. Listen to this and you will understand why this, like, chaps my ass a little bit here. So, says here, the cop who got hold of the knife that was found on O.J. Simpson's Rockingham estate says as soon as he got it, he called the LAPD. Bullshit. Complete bullshit. I don't believe him. I don't believe a fucking word of it. I think he is fucking lying through his teeth to try to cover his ass because they ain't them. Show me a record of this call. Aren't they supposed to make records of these kind of calls and shit like that? You would think. I don't know. But they probably didn't. They were like, oh, we lost it. It got wet in some flood or some shit. Like, the sprinklers came on in the evidence room and fucked everything up so that way they don't got no accountability for anything that goes missing or is all destroyed or whatever. I don't trust the fucking police. I trust firemen. I don't trust the police. Well, says also says here, sources connected with the cop tell us the officer retired in 1998 and in 2002 was working security on a movie shoot across the street when the construction worker gave him the weapon and told him the story. So, goes on, we're told the cop called in West LA Division of LAPD and spoke with a female officer who was working the desk and explained the story and said the knife was rusty, dirty, and muddy. Of course it was. It was buried under the ground. Why is that? Why do you be like, oh, you probably don't like it. It's rusty, it's dusty, muddy, it's gross. Don't nobody want this gross old knife that might have killed two people in the most famous freaking case all ever in the history of Los Angeles. I don't fucking understand these people. People are so stupid. He should have just walked his ass to the police station and said, this might be the knife that OJ used to kill those motherfuckers. Maybe y'all want to dig a little deeper up into this robbery, homicide, or whatever division is doing it. I mean, I have seen enough crime procedural television programming to know that maybe you should be a little bit more diligent in trying to turn some shit like that in. No, not trying to put it on your wall with a plate underneath there with some record number on there. Fucking mouth breathing that moron, mother trucking fool. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But the story continues. The cop says the officer put him on hold for a while and a supervisor came on the line who said, this case is closed and OJ was acquitted. So that means they don't need to work anymore because they're apparently, because OJ didn't do it, they didn't, there was no need to try to figure out who really did do it, which don't make no damn sense because that's just the dumbest shit I've ever heard in the history of fucking ever right there. It's just fucking dumb ass dumbness, right? Well, the cop said the supervisor then discussed how OJ could not be prosecuted again because of double jeopardy. Okay, but it may be, so on the off chance it wasn't the juice or whatever the fuck his nickname was back then. So say it wasn't OJ, then don't you think it is your job as a police officer to then try to find out who did this? And look at this, maybe somebody planted it over there thinking somebody would find it over there and then blame OJ. That's what I would think right off the bat. I was already thinking it. I still think OJ did it. But what I'm saying is, if I was some little crafty dude, I would like go bury that somewhere over on his property in the middle of the night so that people would think that he did it because it was close by. It's just far enough away for him to like think that he hid it good but didn't really hide it good. So I don't get it. So there might be other people out there. Maybe it was Cato. I ain't saying it was Cato because I know it wasn't Cato, but I'm saying he could have done it. I'm just saying, whatever. But goes on. The cop says the supervisor showed no interest in the 5-inch buck knife, so the cop put it in his bag, took it home, and put it in his toolbox where it sat for almost 15 years. Bullshit. Complete and utter bullshit. So then, as we reported, he asked a buddy at LAPD robbery homicide if he could get the case number so he could engrave a frame, blah, blah, blah. We done talked about this part. The detective started asking questions and then about the how the retired cop got the knife, and then the rest is what everybody knows so far. So apparently the TMZ people here, they see they have contacted several of the sources at the LAPD who questioned the cop's story, saying it's strange. See, at least some other cops are asking a fucking question for a change, because normally they're just like, yes, he's a cop, and they cover their fucking ass for him, and I hate that shit. We need more cops on the flip side calling other cops out on their bullshit, and that's just the way it is. But it says, we've contacted several other sources, blah, 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 saying it's strange if he was really interested in alerting the department that he did not call the robbery homicide department. See, even I knew that. I am a dumb ass hick, and I knew that maybe you should call the robbery homicide department, because I have at least seen enough Law and Order and other freaking cop procedural television to know. And I don't even really watch it anymore. I used to watch it because my mama liked to watch it, so I'd watch it with her. But like now, I don't even hardly watch that. I don't really watch that much TV on account of I play video games. They take my mind off of the workplace better than a regular old TV show. Ooh, but I have been watching that Making a Murder one, and that is a good television program that I recommend. Make you keep going back and forth like, ooh, I hate this guy, and then I hate that guy, but you really hate the cops and the freaking people, like, whatever. It's like, the dude is not a good dude, but the fucking, what people do to him, it's like, good Lord have mercy. Could you be sloppy or whatever? You gotta watch it. It's fucking good. All right, back to the OJ Juice story, right? So, apparently this guy did not try very hard. Stupid ass McStupidson, right? Complete stupid ass McStupidson. But then people start chiming in on everything, you know. So, oh, here's what I love when the cops try to talk about some shit. So here they go. Here they go trying to cover their ass, CYA, blah, blah, blah. But apparently, of course, the LAPD had to have a news conference with a fat ass cop stand up there. It's like, you need to get in shape. How are you supposed to protect and serve if you can't run two blocks without halfway puffing and huffing to death? I'm just saying. But LAPD, according over here to the TMZ people again, held a news conference to open up the story. They confirmed what they reported about the folded buck knife and added that the officer who was holding it until earlier this year had retired in the late 90s. Well, this does not tell me anything, TMZ. I have to watch the video. I ain't watching the video, because you know all they're going to do is blow smoke up your ass saying, like, well, he tried to tell somebody it was the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. Nah. No, completely dropped the ball. And whoever that bitch was that he called in the first place, she should freaking at least have some sort of like slap on the hand for being like, yo, bitch, you need to like those kind of things. You just don't like shine on. That's just not how we freaking roll, fools. But now everybody's trying to come to the defense of this dude, saying like he's just some like old straight shooter with a clean record. I don't give a shit. I don't care how clean your record is. That could also mean you just never got caught. He might have done a whole bunch of fucking untoward nonsense over the years as a cop we don't know about just because he never got caught. That's what people always say about people. They're like, oh, he seems so nice. Well, no, he just ain't never got caught. That's the thing. So that's why it's so shocking. It's the first one that's shocking when you first find out about this shit, when they finally catch your ass. But when you've been doing it a whole bunch, people expect that from you. But says here that he's a straight shooter with a clean record is what people are trying to sell to the TMZ people about him. But they have named who he is. So he's a 25-year veteran of the LAPD. His name is George Maycott. See, this shit comes out. He was a motor cop for the LAPD who retired with a clean record in 1998. 2 months after Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman were murdered in 1994, Maycott shot and wounded a man who rammed his police car during a chase. Well, that's fine. Like, whatever. You're going to ram my police car with your car, then you might get shot. That's how I will defend the police on that, because I don't think all police are bad. I just think they just need to freaking police their own. And when somebody is bad, fucking deal with it, call them out exactly what it is, and fucking punish them worse than regular people, because they're supposed to know better and they're supposed to be not doing that shit. They're supposed to be like upholding and not doing. I'm just saying is out. But apparently he got injured and taken to the hospital. They're trying to build up sympathy for this dude. That don't got nothing to do with none of this. Did you turn in the knife or not is a not difficult question. And I think the answer to that is no, because you wanted a souvenir and now it's coming back to bite you in the ass. But this whole thing, he's now 70, says, and fully retired. He insists his sudden interest in putting the knife in an engraved frame had nothing to do with the renewed interest in the case because of the series, The People versus O.J. Simpson. He swears he was not trying to profit by selling the weapon. Shit, I don't know if I believe you very much there, Mr. George Maycott. I'm just saying, retired police officer, maybe you should have been a little bit more diligent. I don't believe you. But whatever. No more about that, dude. Whatever. He should have turned the knife in and tried harder, right? We all agree on that. Because if you don't agree, then you're a mouth-breathing moron. And I, there's just nothing else that will ever change my motherfucking mind. I'm just sorry. But the other thing is people are trying to say that kind of knife couldn't have done these freaking kind of cuts or whatever. It's a 5-inch knife. I think a 5-inch knife could do a little bit of damage on somebody, especially if it was sharp enough and like ready to go and all of that kind of bullshit. But again, according to the TMZ people here, it says the buck knife could produce fatal wounds. That's what it says. Buck knife could produce fatal wounds. Want me to tell you why they say that? Because apparently says here, the knife found on O.J. Simpson's former estate was more than capable of inflicting the mortal wounds on Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. So says the man who examined the wounds of his victims. I'm just saying is all, right? So the dude who, like, saw this shit up front at the beginning back then, his name is Dr. Irwin Golden, who served as the medical deputy medical examiner. Good Lord, sometimes I just try to talk too fast. I can't get anything out right. He testified in the O.J. Simpson case and performed both autopsies. He told the TMZ people that the folding buck knife could have severely cut both victims. See that? See that, people? He says that this knife could have cut both victims. He says Nicole was brutally. This is awful. Like this part, I'm sure I've read it before, but like these kind of things gross me the fuck out. I can't even believe I'm going to say this out loud on the Hollywood Hick program right here on the Crab Diving Network. But apparently it says Nicole was brutally attacked. This is the kind of fucking shit. This is gross, horrible, awful. Nobody should have to go. This is horrible. Nicole was brutally attacked with a deep neck wound, 2.5 inches deep. So that's plenty deep for a 5-inch knife. And it was 5.5 inches across. Like, ugh. Golden says a 4-inch blade could have done the deed. See, this one's 5. That one, he said 4 would have done it. When we broke the story here on the TMZ, it says the knife in question is a 5-inch blade. See, that's why it's saying this fucker could have done it. And that's like saying this knife could be the one. So why? It's like, this makes no sense. It's like, so what? Why do people just do stupid shit? I don't know. I do stupid shit. I don't know why I do it. But people do stupid shit. I would have been a little bit more diligent in looking for the robbery homicide division. Because also, I would have been wanting to be like, yo, take my picture with this knife as I'm giving it to the freaking police. Be like, look who came in with the possible murder knife. It would just be me cheesing with a knife as I turn it over to the police, because I would be like, dude, I'm going to get my picture on everything. Everybody back home going to be jealous. So that's what I would be thinking. I'd be like, I got to like turn this in and be a good citizen, but I'll make sure everybody knows I did it. That's pretty much probably what I would do. But says here, goes on, I'm digressing. Sources connected with the 1994 investigation and others involved in the valuation of the knife tell us there was always a wide belief among LAPD cops. Okay, if this is true, if there was a wide belief among LAPD cops that Simpson used a buck knife. So somebody finds a buck knife buried on the dude's properties, and they all are thinking like, you know, that looks like I was done with a buck knife. If I had to guess what done that right there, that'd been a buck knife that done that right there. That what you think, Officer So-and-so? Yep, that's what I think, Officer So-and-so. That looks just like a buck knife done did that. That's what, like, so then when the buck knife shows up, you're just like, meh, that can't be it. That can't be it. Because you know what? They didn't want to have to open this shit back up and have people find out that they were fucking mouth-breathing morons who did not do their job and fucked this up all kind of mother trucking royal. That's what they didn't want to have to admit. They're like, meh, don't just pretend like it doesn't exist. What they don't know won't hurt them. What we don't know won't hurt us. Just stop it. But that's the whole thing. Okay, whatever. I have talked enough about this. But apparently, there is a new knife out that could or could not be the murderating weapon for the O.J. Simpson murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. And if it does turn out, they figured out for some reason that it is, that is going to be some fucking crazy shitstorm of a fucking shitstorm. So I would be highly suspect if they come back, if there's anything usable up on it. I just think like somebody dropped it into a fucking vat of bleach and was like, oopsie. That's what I'm thinking is going down. That's exactly what I'm thinking is going down. All right, let's talk about something else. Oh, while we're on the subject of horribleness, okay, I'm not so sure I can be down with this dude anymore. I'm not so sure I can do this because, want me to tell you why? I'll tell you why. Sometimes people just need to shut the fuck up. Even if you got a point, sometimes you just need to shut up and keep it to yourself. And I realize that's coming from me, but I pretty much preface everything with these are my opinions and my opinions alone. And so hopefully everybody is on board and we're all cool. But if you don't like something I say, then it's like tough. I really like, I don't know. I ain't going to unsay it because it's done said. But what I'm saying is sometimes you should just hold some shit back, especially if you are like famous and you're talking about some bullshit that a lot of people are kind of really highly upset about already. But over here on the Jezebel site, right? It's right here that Malcolm Jamal Warner, now that was Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, the show that horriblest human ever to be human was had on in the 80s that everybody loved, and now the legacy is tarnished. But he says here, Malcolm Jamal Warner wants to know why Woody Allen and Roman Polanski's films are still aired. Now, I find that a very valid question, right? I find that a completely valid question. I've wondered the exact same thing. I'm like, this is some straight up bullshit. Like, this fucking, why are you glorifying somebody who freaking straight up did this and then ran? Like, the Roman Polanski one, I'm like, then he just fucking ran. Took off running. Just fucking took off. That's just fucking weird. Like, it's like, you don't, like, whatever. He just never, whatever. I'm just never coming back to face it. And people still gave him an Oscar and glorified. So I think he has got a complete point there. I think that's some straight up bullshit. And I think all these people, who, especially these liberal motherfuckers, they need to fucking check themselves. Because, like, I ain't ever watching no Roman Polanski jack because I think he's a fucking horrible person who needs a fucking, like answer for, even though the chick who he did it to says, like, I'm over it, just fucking let it go. Nah, you do the crime, you got to do the time. Every time I got arrested, you know what I did? I went right there and had to do what I had to do. But thank God I didn't have to really do much. Just like kind of like go sit there for a hot minute and then come out. It wasn't that bad. Actually, it was kind of, well, whatever. It was not fun. It was kind of a frightening experience. But at the same time, it was some tits people watching up in there. I'm just saying it's all. All right, back to this thing, right? So, says here on the Jezebel site, right, the Bill Cosby Show was taken off the air, and it was not called the Bill Cosby Show, it was called The Cosby Show. What is the fucking wrong with people who are reporting things these days? I just bit my tongue again. I've been doing that a lot lately because, yeah, I made a bump on there because I chomped it one time while I was talking too fast or something. My tongue got in the way. It was like, aye, right? It fucking hurt, right? But now it made a bump on there like a little ridge, and now it's like it sticks out and it just keeps getting caught every once in a while. So if you hear me scream in pain, that means because I accidentally bit my tongue talking again because I got a bump on it. And now that the bump's there, I keep hitting it every once in a while. Just as it starts to get better, I hit it again and it swells back up. It's like a never-ending loop of destruction. It's nuts, right? But says here, the Bill Cosby Show. Oh my God, Jezebel, get your shit together. The Cosby Show was taken off the air, and Malcolm Jamal Warner admits that this has hit him in the wallet, but that's not the only thing bothering him. See, it's the wallet part that I have an issue with. That's the part that kind of makes him sound like an asshole. But he goes, this may sound insane, but I actually haven't realized that Bill Cosby's show wasn't airing, probably because I haven't been itching to watch him pretend to be a lovable dad and also not have cable. And do not have cable. That's like me, too. I don't have cable either. I got rid of it. Ditch it. I wasn't watching it. Why am I paying $100 a month for something I'll never use? But apparently Malcolm Jamal Warner was on that the Real Show and then the other day, and he made some uncomfortable comparisons between Cosby and certain other men who have been accused of sexual assault. This is what he said. And now I think he's got a point on some of this, right? Until he fucking changed this. Then this one, I'm like, want to smack his ass. He goes, you look at how the media is playing this whole thing out, and I can't help but think about Woody Allen, Roman Polanski, Stephen Collins. It's very clear the crimes they've committed, but there is no one that's calling for Woody's movies to be pulled off the air. that I get. He said, Roman Polanski is still celebrated. Stephen Collins' show still comes on. It's interesting how it's very unbalanced. I get it. But you know what? They didn't drug and rape everybody. And that Stephen Collins, like, whatever. Like, yes, I don't think they should watch, put him on anything else again. But that freaking Seventh Heaven show he was on, or whatever the fucking name of it is, some, like, stupid-ass low-rent cable channel put it back on. And at least he kind of came out and said, yeah, I'm sorry, it happened. But then he, like, tried to make some sort of, like, at least, like, said, like, I'm, like, trying to be better, and I, like, it happened, like, whatever. I think the statute of limitations had run out or something. That's why he couldn't be criminally prosecuted or something like that. I don't know. I don't even remember that whole story. But he did, like, confess that, like, he did some inappropriate stuff with a couple of chicks over the years, and to his wife or whatever, who then, when they got a divorce, she fucking told everybody and made a big old stink about it and got him fired from all kind of stuff and, like, pretty much ruined his rest of his life. But he did what he did, and, well, I guess that's sometimes that's the risk you run, I reckon. But now when it comes to Woody Allen and Roman Polanski, though, like, I like Woody Allen, though, that's never really been proven. That people keep saying that, whatever. I like, I tend to agree with the daughter, but I also it's like, whatever. It's never been completely settled and proven. So I don't want to, like, call somebody 100% guilty, although he just seems incredibly guilty. So I'm leaning towards the guilty side, but I don't know for a fact. But the Roman Polanski, we straight up know for a fact that motherfucker did what that motherfucker did and then ran and then never came back to face the music. And that's what I call bullshit on. Like, that's, I ain't, no, Roman Polanski broke the fuck up. We weren't even together, but broke the fuck up. I ain't never watching it. Plus, I don't watch that artsy-fartsy shit anyway, so I ain't got no reason to watch any of that stupid shit he does, because it looks boring. I don't care what nobody says or how many awards they throw at it. Boring. But moving on. It says, for the blah, blah, blah. But Warner doesn't come out and say that race is the deciding factor in how we pick and choose who gets to make money from their art. And all the hundreds or even thousands of other people who worked on projects, but it's easy to infer. What is? I want to get to the part where he talks about where it's taking money out of his pocket. Where is it at? I don't even know what I just read. Well, this is bullshit. This freaking thing doesn't even tell me what I wanted to tell me. So I'm going to, whatever. But I read it on something. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it was here on the page 6 where they had the part that I wanted. Whatever. Like, some of the, I hate when they leave shit out. Like, I read it on one place and then I saw it somewhere else. I was like, ooh, I'll just save this one so I got a reference to go to when I'm talking about it here on the Hollywood Hick program. But on this shit, I got too many windows open, y'all. This shit is taking four straight up evs to open up. But maybe if I close this one, it'll, like, help speed some shit up. But where's it, what he said? Blah, blah, blah. Over on the page 6, they got it better. I should have got it from here. He's like, Roman Polanski is still celebrated. Stephen Collins' show still comes on. It's blah, blah, blah. He goes on, well, that blah, blah. Here we go. Sorry, all of that blah, blah, and for fucking nothing. He says, this is a quote from me. He says, it's literally taking money out of my pocket. So I got my own personal feelings about that because it personally affects me. Okay, that's where I got a problem. It's like, dude, yeah, it fucking personally affects you. Yes, I get that. It has taken money out of your pocket. But the thing is, I don't think you should be mad at the people who are accusing him of doing that because it's like, and tarnishing the legacy and all of that kind of bullshit. You should be upset with Bill Cosby. Like, I am pissed the fuck at Bill Cosby because now all this shit's coming out. I had a freaking cash cow going there, and now I ain't got that cash cow, and it's all because all this time he was out there drugging and raping. And so I think your anger is misplaced, Mr. Malcolm Jamal Theo Huxtable Warner. I'm just saying is all. So that's where I fucking take issue. I completely agree with you, dude, that Woody Allen, Roman Polanski, Stephen Collins, those dudes, that they should get the same motherfucking treatment. But look here, the Duggars, they putting them bitch asses back on TV too. What you gonna say about that? Should add them Duggars to it, or Duggars, or whatever their fucking name is. Fucking awful, horrible people. I can't stand them with their freaking crazy eyes and big teeth. I can't. I just fucking can't. All right. Hold on. Let's see what else is going on out there in the world. I find something that ain't gonna piss a hick off. Oh. Okay. So, I don't know. This might piss me off. This might not. Who knows? You never know with a Hollywood hick anymore these days. But what I'm saying is, I done found out the other day, because I haven't talked about this in forever because there just hasn't been anything new to report. But according to the Radar Online people, and I've seen it in a few other places, I think it was on the TMZ too. But of course, the one I clicked on was the Radar one because whatever. Must have been looking at last when I saved this. Whatever. Moving on. But says here, judge unseals Bobby Christina Brown autopsy amid Nick Gordon lawsuit. It says prosecutors reveal sensitive information in toxicology report. So basically what it is saying is, like, this is good and or bad. I don't know. It's like, I don't know how, if this ends up being good or bad for Nick Gordon, because, you know, he is accused of, well, here, whatever. Let's get to him in a minute. Let's say what it says first. I'm getting ahead of myself. I've done that like 3-4 times already this program, hadn't I? You can't take a hick nowhere. But it says right here on the Radar Online, just one day before what would have been Bobby Christina Brown's 23rd birthday, a judge has ruled that her autopsy and toxicology report will be unsealed and available to the public. The bombshell rule. Wait a minute. Does this not tell me what it is? Oh, this is the one just saying they're gonna do it. Over on the TMZ, it's a whatever. Okay, hold please while I get over to my reputable news source, TMZ, because the Radar is dropping the mother trucking ball as far as I'm concerned right now. But we'll get over here and see what the heck is going on. Okay, here we go. Over here on the TMZ, where we will get real news and not the fucking Radar. I don't know what I was thinking about those stupid Radar people. But what I'm saying is, says right here, cause of death, drowning, cocaine, booze, and more. So pretty much what everybody thought is exactly what has happened in this Bobby Christina case. It is so sad. Like, it really is. Like, the whole thing is sad. And I don't know what this means to the boyfriend slash husband slash stepbrother, not stepbrother, but sort of like brother type person, because they grew up together. Weirdness where they were like in a relationship. I don't understand. Whatever. I am not to understand, apparently, as far as it comes to that. But says here on the TMZ, Bobby Christina Brown's official cause of death is eerily similar to her mother, Whitney Houston. Like, we didn't already figure that was a coming, right, people? I'm just saying is all. But says drowning while using a bunch of drugs, but the autopsy could not determine if there was foul play. So now that's where that Nick Gordon's like, see, you can't say it was me. But I still think he was some kind of horrible, awful enabler. And people have been giving up warning flags and things to her for a while. Like, this dude is bad news. You need to get out of that nonsense before something bad happens, and then something bad happened. So, story goes on. The Fulton County Medical Examiner's testing revealed Bobby Christina died due to immersion of face in water, complicating mixed drug intoxication. The drugs found in her system were marijuana, alcohol, a cocaine-related substance called cocaine, benzodiazepines. That's a prescription anti-anxiety med. That's like Xanax or something. Because, see, that takes the edge off of all the other shit they doing. That's what I think happens there. And morphine. So she had more morphines. What, the morphine will knock your fucking ass out. That's why she was slipping down into the tub. Whoever gave her the morphine, or if she gave it to herself, or if Nick Gordon helped, or whatever. But the medical examiner could not determine if the morphine was related to heroin use. So she didn't, probably, I would think, otherwise they're doing straight up morphine. Who knows? When you got money and means, you can get all kind of shit. I'm just saying. But story goes on. The report lists the full cause of death as pneumonia and encephalopathy, meaning her lungs filled with water and her brain was injured, clearly caused by the time she spent submerged in her bathtub on January 31st, 2015. God, that is over a year ago. I can't believe that was like over a year ago, but I guess so. It makes sense. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Whitney's official cause of death was drowning in her bathtub at the Beverly Hilton, and hers was complicated by the cocaine and her heart disease, because I think she had the heart disease from doing crack, even though Whitney said she didn't do crack. I think she was doing crack. I saw pictures of that bathroom that somebody put on the Inquirer, and it just led me to believe that there may not be a lot of truth to that statement that she made. But rest in peace, Whitney. I still love you, but girl, you were a mess there for a hot minute. Bobby Christina's autopsy results have been sealed until Friday morning, because the Fulton County DA thought it would interfere with an ongoing criminal investigation into whether her boyfriend, Nick Gordon, was involved in her death. I still ain't so sure whether that is or ain't true. I don't know. I can't decide. I keep going back and forth. For a while, I was like, he showed it. He looked horrible guilty on that Dr. Phil show. And, like, just the way he was freaking out. But maybe he was freaked out because, I mean, she was his whole world. But at the same time, if you're somewhat abusive, how can you not, like, think this shit's happening? I don't know. There's some guilt of some sort there. I don't know. I don't know if it's, like, he exactly did whatever. Enabled maybe by like not like trying to like by like participating in the drugging and things. I don't know, but I don't think whatever. I guess the whatever. We'll just have to see how the shit plays out. But A judge unsealed the report after Atlanta station WXIA argued its First Amendment rights. So as for Gordon, the medical examiner was unable to determine if Bobby Christina's death was due to intentional or accidental causes. That could go a long way in clearing Gordon criminally. So his ass might be off the hook because they're like, we can't say if foul play happened or not because there's just a whole lot of shit going on here and we just really can't make heads or tails of it because it's just fucking fucked up. That's why. But says, excuse me, says BK's estate has filed a $40 million wrongful death lawsuit against him, alleging he gave her the toxic mix of drugs, which the medical examiner's report now clearly states played a role in her drowning. But okay, so wait a minute, let's read this again because I don't think I was paying attention to what I said. Bobby Christina's estate filed a $40 million wrongful death lawsuit against, and now they're saying this proves that he gave her a big old toxic mix, a cocktail of drugs, and that's why that happened. So basically, like, Nick Gordon is saying this exonerates my ass because it was not like somebody beating on her that put her in there, but it was the drug using. But then the Bobby Christina's estate is saying, nah, dude, because you like fed her this big old crazy cocktail of drugs and then she passed out in the tub, so now you the one to blame because you shouldn't have done did that. So I think this is going to go on for a little bit while longer, and this Nick Gordon ain't quite off the hook as much as he thinks. And even if he wasn't, about he's going to be fucking ruined because this kind of shit costs a lot of money, and he's being represented by the same dude that got that what's her name off down in Florida, Casey Anthony, the one that who's like the tot mom, the one that like Nancy Grace and her big old bobblehead were always talking about, tot mom, that one that got off on that thing where she killed her kid, or supposedly allegedly maybe killed her kid, but then she got off on killing her kid by that Jose Baez dude. So so the same dude that got her off is the one representing Nick Gordon. So this is gonna be interesting, right? Actually, I think there's a thing on here, if I saw right, if I can get to it. This computer is moving awfully slow. It doesn't like to do things whenever I'm recording things, which is nuts. Oh, pause please, I'm about to sneeze. Well, at least sneezing gives me time to load up the next page because it says right here on the TMZ. I'm like pulling everything from the TMZ today, which also I will say in TMZ's prompts, they don't got near as many grammar fucking problems and misspellings and stupid shit going up in here. At least somebody proofreads this shit, like the Jezebels and the Gawkers and some of them that I like to read. But sometimes I'm like, good Lord, have mercy. Do y'all even bother to read? And good Lord, if you want a good giggle at people who cannot fucking put words together and fuck up, make all kind of mistakes, even on their headlines. There was one this morning on the very biggest first headline on it, but the KTLA website out here in Hollywood, you look at it, because when you look at their stuff, it is like it's written by freaking sixth graders. There's like horrible misspellings, shit, it's like words are all kind of used wrong, shit's just wrong, it's wrong. I read it every morning just because I like it gives me a minute of the news, but also it makes me feel better about myself because it's like, even though I can talk like this, I can still write a fucking normal sentence if I have to. Like, I know how, I just choose not to, but it just cracks my ass up. Re-motherfucking-diculous, right? But says here on the TMZ website, Bobby Christina's boyfriend says, prosecutors hung me out to dry. So, yeah. So Bobby Christina Brown's boyfriend feels vindicated by her autopsy findings, thinking it proves he had nothing to do with her death, but he's pissed prosecutors sat on the info for so long. Well, I mean, if they're accused, this is the thing. Like, this is where people are just fucking stupid. You're being accused of giving her a volatile cocktail of drugs and things like that, which caused her to die. So don't you think that maybe they're going to hold on to that information? Because since that's what you're being accused of, and that's essentially what happened, they're trying to figure out if you really are the one who gave it to her, if she gave it herself, or if maybe somebody else did it. But that's kind of bullshit. No, so like that, to me, that negates you. I've watched enough crime procedurals. See, look, twice Hollywood Hick is ahead of everybody else in these stupid fucking cases. Good Lord have mercy. Ain't enough dolly in the world to fix these people, I swear. But says members of Nick Gordon's legal team tell the TMZ the just released report showed Bobby Christina was in the throes of serious drug addiction, and that can't possibly be pinned on Gordon. Now, well, they were attached at the fucking hip and both doing a lot of drugs. I don't think that he is completely innocent. That's the whole thing. Like, whatever. Like, they were, he's too freaked out and things were a little bit too crazy for me to believe anything otherwise. I don't get it. But as reported, she had weed. I love how they like list this whole thing out. Like weed, cocaine, morphine, possibly from heroin, anti-anxiety pills, and booze in her system. Like, why couldn't they made this list before? Like, the other one was naming the shit for straight up what it is, and like it's unfucking pronounceable. And like, I don't understand. whatever, could have just said this. I would have got it. It made much more sense to me. Weed, cocaine, morphine, anxiety pills, and booze. I know exactly what all of those things are. And now that I do all of it, well, I do the booze, and I will admit that I maybe have done the weed, but the rest of that, not anymore. Well, the morphine, the only time I ever got morphine was when I had surgery. That shit's good. I can see why people get hooked on that. I can totally see why people get hooked on that. Yes, please. Can I have some more? What do you mean it's not time? Well, I gotta wait 12 minutes, so at 12 minutes and 1 second, I will be asking you for more, please. Okay? That's just how this shit's gonna work. But see, it says right here, but we're told his legal team, led by Jose Baez, that's the dude that got Casey Anthony off for being in trouble for, like, supposedly maybe killing her kid, which apparently she didn't do because she got off on it. So we just have to trust in the system, right? Is that what we do? I reckon. But says that most people, wait a minute, I got to read this again. But we're told his legal team, head by Jose Baez, are most upset prosecutors kept the report under seal for nearly a year since they feel it clears his name. Well, see, I don't feel it completely clears his name, so I think you're full of shit, Jose Baez, because he's being accused of giving somebody a volatile cocktail, and that sounds like a pretty volatile motherfucking cocktail if I ever did hear of one. I'm just saying is all. It was unsealed only after members of the media pressured them to release it. Nick feels that if it was shown to the public sooner, the perception of him would be totally different. I don't think so. Because right now, you know what? I'm seeing it now, and I still don't change my opinion. I still think that, like, some way, shape, form, or fashion you were involved. I'm not saying that you held her head under the water, but I do think there's some culpability on that side that you might need to be sort of, like, starting to come to terms with. I'm just saying is all. You know what I mean? But that's it. The ongoing saga of Bobby Christina Brown. Like, it's really sad. Poor Whitney, poor Bobby Christina, poor Bobby Brown. I actually kind of like Bobby Brown. I'm still telling you, Being Bobby Brown is the greatest reality show ever, ever. I think you can see him on the YouTubes, or somebody probably put him up there pirate style or something. I don't know. But it is worth watching because it's fucking hysterical. The episode when they go camping, hysterical. When Bobby Brown sits there stewing in his own fart, I was losing my ever-loving mind. It's fucking hysterical. Hysterical. All right. What else? How much more time we got here on the Hollywood Hick program? Got a couple of few minutes. On the Hollywood Hick program. Okay. I came across this story on the Flipboards because, you know, I like the Flipboards over on the iPad. If you got an iPad and you use the Flipboards, find the Hollywood Hick. I'm flipping pages up in there all the time. So I got things I'm going to talk about here on the program and other stuff, things I want to remember. Sometimes recipes, Wonder Woman things, stuff like that, right? Well, I came across this thing about where these women were worked at this daycare, and evidently they had a baby fat club, y'all. This is straight up for real. So it was like a little short thing. It was like some BuzzFeed thing. It was just teensy little articles. I guess one of the chicks just finally got, like, arrested or something. There was a couple of few people involved, and then they finally arrested some more or something. But, oh, just a second. So it says right here, second baby fight club daycare teacher convicted. So two of them. This happened in Virginia. Go figure, not Florida. Who would have thought? But this is coming from the NBC News. That's where I saw this. But if you Google baby fight club, it comes up with a whole bunch of articles. Who knew this even happened? I didn't know. But it says here, a Virginia daycare teacher accused of turning her classroom of two-year-olds into a baby fight club was knocked out by a jury on Thursday. That's what it says right here. A baby mother trucking fight club, y'all. Kara Springs was convicted of child cruelty and other abusive behavior charges after a two-week trial in the Virginia suburbs of Washington, D.C. She was found guilty of four felony counts of child cruelty and two misdemeanor counts of assault and battery. Ain't y'all getting happier and happier? Your name ain't Kara Springs. I'm telling you, if your name was Kara Springs, you would be like, wah, wah. When your name ain't Kara Springs, you're like, oh my God, that bitch is straight up nuts. But apparently she could get up to 5 years in prison on each of the felony count convictions and a year for each misdemeanor account, right? Spriggs, she was acquitted of 14 other charges. Lord knows what they were. They don't list the ones that you don't get caught on. Is the second teacher from the Miniland Academy at the Glen facing serious jail time for pitting toddlers against each other in fights for their amusement. This is some straight up kitty freaking fight club stuff, baby fight club. Who knew? People are nuts. I love how people do stupid. Well, this is not something I condone and or say that you should do, but I do think it's fucking hysterical that people think they should do this. And these poor children, I hope they're young enough to where they don't remember it and aren't traumatized for the rest of their lives. But It says in January, Sarah Jordan was found guilty on similar charges and could get up to 41 years behind bars when she's sentenced come May, right? Springs, who's 26, and Jordan, who's 31, were arrested in November of 2013 after the state's Child Protective Services and police began investigating reports of abuse at the daycare center in Woodbridge, Virginia, right? So basically at the trial, this is what witnesses said. Witnesses described how Springs forced twin sisters to fight each other. They said Spriggs regularly mistreated the kids by stomping on their bare toes. These women are awful. Like, where did, like, what makes people, like, poor little old kids, like, I'm not, you know, like, I think kids can be annoying as fuck, but I don't ever want to go over and just, like, purposely stomp on their toes. Okay, they stomped on their toes, they dunk them in cold water, and they throw them onto these cots. So it's like the kids misbehaving, they're like, dunk them in ass water, like, give them an ass dip. Like, kids, like, that's pretty fucking downright mean. Like, just some people are just mean. And apparently, two ladies named Sarah Jordan and what was the other one? Something Spriggs. Freaking Kira Spriggs. Kira Spriggs and Sarah Jordan are awful, hateful, horrible, awful people, right? But apparently, blah, 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 blah. Oh, this is what else they did. Like, now I have given, whatever, I'll tell you that on the flip side. They described how the apparently twisted teachers would feed Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Now, I love fucking Flamin' Hot Cheetos, but let me just tell you, do not ever, under any circumstances, sit in front of the television set and eat a whole bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos and then think your morning poo is going to be anything other than just straight up fire painful. I'm just public service announcement. I know that's probably not proper talking for the radio, but I'm just telling you, do not eat a whole big old bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos while you're sitting in front of the TV, because your butthole's gonna hate you come morning. I'm just saying is all. But back to the story here. So they described how the apparently twisted teachers would feed Flamin' Hot Cheetos to the toddler and then laugh when they recoiled from the spiciness. Now, I have watched a cat lick a lemon. That is fucking hysterical. I don't care. Ain't gonna hurt it. But you don't feed a fucking Flamin' Hot to a little EB kid just for your amusement. Like, that's awful. Plus, if they get Flamin' Hot in their eye, you are fucked. Because when you get Flamin' Hot powder in your eye, that is straight up the most painful. Like, it's like you're ruined for, like, the next 6 hours till, like, something finally works through. It's horrible. It's fucking horrible. But apparently, earlier, parents of children at the center reported that their kids began behaving differently during the period of time when the worst abuse happened. A lady named Shanna Grison said she pulled her 21-month-old son out of Miniland because he dreaded going to the daycare. Apparently, he would cry. She said he would throw himself on the floor and you just go, "No, mommy, no, mommy." So this kid was like, "Hell no, mommy, don't make me go in there. They make me do Fight Club, and that big kid keeps kicking my ass," is pretty much what he's thinking. And they make me eat Flamin' Hot Cheetos and they burn my mouth and make me go crazy. And they just laugh and they stomp my toes and dump me in cold water, throwing me around on cots. You are awful women starting a Fight Club here. But apparently, it finishes up here saying, during Jordan's trial, prosecutor Ashley Landers called the class a baby fight club for the teacher's amusement. So that's basically what it was. So these ladies started a fight club amongst these toddlers thinking it was fucking hysterical. You dumb bitch ass bitches. So be glad, people, that your name is not Kira Spriggs, I was right, or Sarah Jordan, because you would be awful, hateful, horrible people who started a baby fight club and now you're going to go to prison for up to 41 years. So that's it, people. Do not start baby fight clubs, people, because jail is on the other side, and apparently it's a lot of jail. So if you start baby fight club, people don't play. They're like, fuck you, you're a horrible, awful, hateful person, and you are going to jail for 41 years for starting a baby fight club, and you don't want that. You do not want that at all whatsoever. I'm just saying is all. Right? Okay. Let's see. What do we got? Ooh, we just got a hot second left here on the Hollywood. Okay, this I want to tell you, because I think this comes out. No, it's not my home state, but this is some fucked up bullshit that I just want to comment on, because this annoys the fuck out of me how people think and do stupid shit like this. Because, okay, there's this story coming out of South Carolina where there's this teacher, like, who got in trouble, and she got fired because a student stole her phone and then found a naked picture on there and started showing it around to people and, like, shaming the teacher. So then she got in trouble because the kid stole from her and then, like, pretty much harassed her and, like, sent pictures around. So that is how people in fucking South Carolina think. So if you're in South Carolina and you think this is cool, you need to pull your fucking head as far out of your ass as you have shoved it and come back to the fucking real world, because this woman was completely violent violated and wronged. And this kid did not even get so much as suspension or anything for fucking stealing in the first place. So this is straight up bullshit. But it says a Union County high school teacher has resigned after a student stole personal pictures off her cell phone. Oh, she resigned. I guess she had to resign. Like, it's one of those things, forced resignment or whatever. But he, like, basically took it. The student who actually took pictures, turned around and told me, "Your day of reckoning is coming." That's what he said. So it was completely malicious and planned. And Superintendent David Eubanks says the school has concern that Arthur would be contributing to the delinquency of a minor. That's what it is. So her name is something Arthur. So basically what I'm saying, her name is Lee Ann Arthur. And that is some straight up bullshit. Fuck you, David Eubanks, for thinking that some woman, when she gets violated, is like the one contributing to the delinquency of a minor. How about you take that minor who is doing delinquent fucking activities, like a fucking juvenile delinquent, and fucking jerk a knot in his tail and get him back in line and quit being a pussy and pointing the finger at the person who just got freaking completely humiliated and wronged, you dumbass fucking motherfucker. So there you go, people. Also, be glad your name is not David Eubanks, because he's a bitch ass bitch of a bitch, and he needs to be fucking smacked across the face with a wet dead fish. Okay, that's all I gotta say about that. That does it for me, y'all. Everybody be good. You're listening to the Hollywood Hick right here on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com. And that does it for me. I'm out of here. Doodle lamb, doodle lamb, do, mother truckers. Bye bye. Boo lamb, boo lamb, boo lamb, boo lamb, boo. Two lamb, two lamb, two lamb, two lamb, two. Great lane, great lane, great lane.